bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. We have a surprise guest for you today. He is a gentleman who is the security manager for Gaudenzia Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center in Philadelphia, and his name is Mr. Lance Walker. Lance, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Very good. Thank you for joining us today. And you know, the show Finding God in Prison is focused on inmate reentry work and helping people who are struggling with substance abuse and alcoholism. And so we have a lot in common with the Gaudenzia program. But if you can, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into working for Gaudenzia and what it is that Gaudenzia actually does for the people.
Yes, sir. So I came to Gaudenzia DRC coming from already working at Coleman Hall. And I've been working in this field for quite some time. It's been almost 18 years altogether total. And I've been doing this work for quite some time now. And I love what I do. I love helping people reintegrate back into society. One of the reasons why I want to help people get back into society again is because I once was them. I once was behind those walls, and I remember how it was to be inside of there and just be thinking, where's my family? Where's my family? What's going to happen? God, why would God do this to me? Why would he put me in this place? And all kinds of stuff like that, and wondering why. And I actually thank God that he took me through all that, because it's made me the person that I am today, the person that I am able to help people, because I was there and I know how it is. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. I remember all of those. I waking up, wanting one more, stealing from my family, loving my mom to death and my dad to death, but stealing and taking from them, not knowing which way I was going to go. But till this day, I have 23 years clean and sober from drugs and alcohol. And it's all because of the life that I was living and the life that I chose to live today, which got me through. And I just thank God for that.
And that's a powerful testimony, Lance. It's great to meet you and speak with you openly and honestly, and to share really the love of God that you've just expressed. And we met through Kenny James, who was just on the air with us last week, a guy who is now residing at Gaudenzia, who served more than 34 years in and out, but who graduated with the WINGS program back in 2014. And, you know, he has done a great job, you know, in coming back into society and moving forward. So as we, you know, discuss drug and alcohol rehab, you know, you went through it exactly as other men do. And what was your drug of choice when you were using drugs?
Pills. I was addicted. When I was in South Philadelphia, I was addicted to pills, syrup, and they call it syrup and pancakes. So it was pills and syrup. When I was in Southwest Philly, I was addicted to marijuana and malt liquor. But then all of a sudden, I started doing heroin. I wanted to know what that heroin high felt like, because the high that I was on, it wasn't getting me where I wanted to be anymore. So I said, you know what? I need something a little bit stronger. So I searched and searched, and I found heroin. And I probably, if I wouldn't have thought that my life would have got better, I probably would still be on drugs. I would be still addicted to heroin because heroin was my best friend at the time.
Okay. And, Lance, how old were you when you first started using drugs?
I was around 17 years old.
Okay. And how?
I wanted to be 17.
How were you first introduced to drugs?
I was first introduced to drugs by following the crowd. I was up there. I was one of those guys that wanted to be with the cool people. You know, I wanted to be with the bad guys. I hung with them. I wanted to be like them, dress like them, and I followed them. And I followed them into this hole because it took me into a hole, you know. And I didn't know how to get out this hole, but I knew that I wanted to be where they were. And I didn't care what it took to be there, you know, whether it took missing class or whether it took not even showing up for home or even passing class. Thank God I got through. You know, I graduated in 96 from Benjamin Franklin High School. And I don't know how I did it, but I did. And I used to go to school high. But people helped me through because they seen that this lifestyle wasn't really for me. But I didn't see it. So I just thank God I made it through that part.
Yeah. And that's, once again, a tremendous story, a real story. And how old are you today?
45.
So how many years did you actually use drugs?
I'm sorry, John, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, how long are you clean and sober? Let's put it that way.
How many years do I have clean and sober?
Yes.
I have 20, I want to say 21, because I went in 99 to a program called One Day at a Time, which is ran by a guy by the name of Reverend Henry T. Wells, who passed away. I stayed in that program for 5 years until I felt as though I was ready. And then after I got out of that program, I said, you know what? I'm going to continue on helping people. I'm going to go into a program myself and help people.
Okay.
So I found Gardensia.
That's awesome. Now, nationally, you know, I've been doing a lot of work for over 28 years with inmates in prison and people who are struggling with addiction to alcoholism and substance abuse. And we know in recovery that there's close to an 83% failure rate in recovery and that people seem to go back to using again and again and again. In your opinion, what is the secret to success in sobriety?
The secret to it, Joe, is not to be a follower and look for the leaders. Look for people who's trying to get another day clean and sober just like you are. Stick to the winners. I was always taught that if you're around the good ones, you'll wind up being 90% chance you'll be good as they will or better. Going through that program, which I talked about One Day at a Time, has taught me all of that. It taught me that all my days aren't going to be good days. All my days aren't going to be bad days, but your good days will outweigh your bad days. And just continue to hold on to that and grasp that and keep that in the forefront and don't look back.
Okay, and it's a great message. In the WINGS program, which is our inmate reentry program, we have a slogan, you know, it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And you have to have a plan of action for every day, you know, because idle time is really the devil's workshop and people get caught up in different situations and actually, you know, are going back to jail or going back to, the drug of choice once again. Now, in the Gaudenzia house, how many people do you house there at one time?
A lot of them go to work and all of that, but we hold to, right now we're holding like 208, but and usually it's, I want to say around 115.
Okay.
Something like that.
About 100.
Regular.
All right. About 115 people living there and they have access to go to work every day. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so, and how long is the program once they begin?
So the program is only supposed to be 6 months to a year. Some people can come in straight from prison and already have all of this stuff in place, make leave within 30 days. But a lot of the guys, because they burn their bridges with their families or whether their family don't want to deal with them at all and they have to start from scratch, they can be there from a year to 2 years.
Okay.
It depends on their circumstances.
Right. All right. And I know that Gaudenzia uses a holistic approach. Can you speak about that at all?
So what Gaudenzia teaches is basically they want to teach the men recovery. They want to teach them finances. They want to teach them family, responsibility. What do you want to do once you get out of here? How are you going to save your money? How are you going to invest in yourself? What is your plan? Because you got to have a plan in order to leave. You know, you want to have a plan in place. You don't just want to just go out there and say, I got it, and then fail. You want to go out there with a plan because your plan usually will work. But once you go out there and don't have a plan, you can bump into a wall, a brick wall, and you'll be wound up right back in either in the penitentiary, or you could wind up dead, depending on where you're at.
Exactly. And a plan is very important. I know in the WINGS program we say that most people don't plan to fail, but they fail to plan. And working in aviation, the commercial pilot has to have a flight plan. And part of that flight plan is actually a fuel plan. You know, fuel planning and flight planning is essential to fly from point A to point B. And we use aviation analogies to help men to find their captainship, their manhood, if you will, and to succeed in building a strong and progressive life for their family, for their children, you know, for themselves. And so, you know, this sounds like we have a lot of commonalities with Gaudenzia. And I know one of the goals you have in Gaudenzia is to build hope and to create a stable and support network for a drug-free life. Can you speak a little bit about how important is it to have hope for someone coming through a rehab program?
Well, what I usually like, and I'll speak about Mr. Kenny James, for instance. So Kenny James came to us not too long ago, and Kenny James had, he had something he was focused on. He reads his Bible, he preaches the word, he tries to help other people learn the word and all of that. And what I liked about Mr. Kenny James is that he's trying to pass on a message to save people. He's trying to show people his hope here. It's hope. If you fail, it's okay. Get back up and start over. You know, it's hope here. We can help each other. You know, if you don't talk to people or you don't let people in, you can't get no help. So what happens with hope is, I can hope all day long. I can preach the word all day long. I can show people the way all day long. If a person don't want it, they won't receive it. In order to receive it, you have to let people in. You have to let people know what's going on. Don't show us the outside. Let us know what's going on in the inside.
Right. And that's so important. You know, in the WINGS program, we utilize the Word of God very often, and we also use aviation analogies. But the Lord says, you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, knock and the door shall be opened for you. Seek and you will find. And these are important things. You know, you hit the nail on the head, because if you're not open to getting help from other people, you're really isolating yourself. And yeah, it becomes a very difficult thing to actually succeed, you know, and also to just learn from other people's mistakes is so important. I know, you know, in the WINGS program, we've taken a lot of our men while they're on probation or parole into some of the high schools in Bucks County to help some of the youth to avoid things like drug and alcohol, incarceration, car accidents, DUIs, a host of tragic situations that are very challenging to get out of. Now, Lance, if you take us back to when you were 17, 18, and in through your 20s, can you talk a little bit about incarceration? How much time have you served personally?
So I actually, altogether, Joe, I would say I did about 8 years total, because everything that I went to jail for had to deal with taking things, theft, deception, fraud. And that was all because I was following people. I wanted to get the money that the other people were getting. I wanted to live the lifestyle they was living. So I wondered, I asked questions, and then they put me to work. And it wasn't all good, you know, but I wind up in prison. I did time. Let me back up. I did county time because there's a difference. You got the county, you got the prison. I did a lot of county bids, not no state bids. So when I did these different times, I always said to myself, when are you going to get it? When are you going to get it? But believe it or not, every time that I went, my mind got a little bit more wiser. Cause I realized that being in there, nobody's going to help you here. Nobody's going to be your best friend there. Nobody's going to show you that I'm going to be there for you. So I learned that. And by learning that, it taught me a whole lot of about how to be responsible, how to be determined, how to do your own thing, get out there and make your own money, you know, all of that. So I took what I learned, the negative, and I turned it into a positive. And by helping people, it showed me a different way than to be taken from people.
Okay, and that's excellent. And what facility were you at within the Philadelphia Department of Prisons?
So I did time in CFCS. I did time in PIC. Now, if you want to go to New Jersey, I did time in Camden County. Then I went to Burlington County and Bucks County. I was in New York at Central Booking. I did time at the Tombs, if you're familiar with the Tombs.
Yes, yeah.
The Manhattan House.
Right.
So I was a little bit all over, Joe. I was a little bit all over. And that was due to every county that I was doing my dirt, that's where I got caught at. So that's where I did my time.
Right. Okay. I appreciate you sharing that. I really do. You know, it matters a great deal for our listeners because, you know, the goal is to help people to avoid some of the things that, you know, we're talking about so that they can teach their children to do the same. And and it's important, you know. So as you look back on your, you know, time of incarceration, what was the number one change that you had to make and actually made that change? What was that?
So the change that I had to make was I had to be honest with myself. I had to be honest with myself, and I had to humble myself. I had to be humiliated. And what I mean by that was people had to tell me that what you're doing isn't right. Stealing from your mother isn't right. Being a bum isn't right. Being a drug addict isn't cool. You know, being humiliated amongst men, a bunch of men telling me that this ain't cool. Nothing is cool about getting high. Nothing's cool about stealing from your family. You know, and basically, it kind of made me remember and think about all the stuff that I did. All the stuff I took from people and all of that kind of stuff. And I mean, being in recovery, it still lived with me because I was actually living in a recovery house when the cops came and they arrested me and took me to Jersey from open warrant. And I said, wow, I'm going to jail and I'm clean and sober and I'm doing the right thing. But my lifestyle had caught up with me. Regardless of me being clean and sober, it still was there. And until I dealt with my issues and my problems, it would never get better. It had never got better. So I dealt with it. I went to jail, and God granted me some time out and said, look, we got you. I'm going to let you out of here. You know, you're doing the right thing and everything like that. Your life seems to be a little bit more better. I'm going to let you go home. You know, so I wound up being in there for a week instead of months and wound up going home and doing the right thing, still staying clean and sober, no matter what.
Okay.
And that's... I didn't allow that to send me back out to the street. Even my mother dying and passing while I was in recovery didn't send me back out getting high.
Okay.
I told myself I wasn't going back, Joe.
Yeah. And that's it. You really had to, you know, be honest with yourself. And that was the number one change you had to make. And so, you know, as you look at the years, you know, gone by, you know, we can't change the past, but we learn from it. And, what's the number one thing that you actually learned from using drugs?
The number one thing that I will say, just being in, when I was in those rooms by myself and when I was on those drugs, I always thought and I always prayed to God afterwards. But I knew he was always there, but I just never listened. He was always there. He never went anywhere. It was just up to me to say, you know what? You need to do something different. because the life we're living is not working. And I chose to change.
Okay. And if you look at, you know, this show again is Finding God in Prison. Did you find your faith while incarcerated, or was it, did it happen early on for you as you were growing up and then put it aside? Where were you in your faith?
It was always there. It was always there, but it was just like in order for me to move forward, in life, I had to remember that it never left me. It never left me. I grew up in church. I came from a Christian background. I had a mother, a grandmother, two grandmothers that always instilled in me that God is always there. But I chose to live a different life. I chose different religions, but always, it was always a higher power, always there for me, no matter what. I just chose a different route.
Okay. And today, where are you in terms of your life today? Where, if you look at your life, you know, in terms of family life, work, community service, hobbies and sports, what's going on in your life, Lance?
So, as of right now, like I said, I'm at Gaudenzi DRC, helping people one day at a time to show them that this is the right way, what's the right way, and what's the wrong way. I am currently, me and my wife have a business that we started, a cleaning business. So I'm in the process of cleaning, doing a lot of cleaning. And I'm also ready to do masonry. So I'm ready to be a mason soon. So I'm ready to get put myself amongst other men that are doing positive things and out there in the community and helping other people and showing up for people and feeding the homeless and doing all of that. I'm always giving back no matter what. You know, when it's Christmas time, because my son is older and my niece and nephews are all bigger, I just give to the community now. I just give, you know, when it's Christmas time, I go out and I get to the community. It's a church that I'm affiliated with because I've been doing community service with them for 20 years. I bring the people from Gaudenzi down to the church, and then I have them give the gifts to the people in the community. You know, so I'm always affiliated with giving back.
And it's a beautiful thing. You know, the Lord says, whatever you did for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And whatever you did not do for the least of your brothers, you didn't do it for me. So, you know, he calls us to really put our love into action and to give back, you know, and he repays us with a lot of love and peace, with joy. And it's a beautiful thing. Sounds like, you know, you're doing great and you're becoming a real role model, you know, in terms of community service and helping people in general. And that's a wonderful thing, Lance. I commend you for that and for
Thank
the opportunity
you.
To bring you here on the air at Holy Spirit Radio. Once again,
Thank
to
you.
Our listeners, you're welcome. To our listening audience, you're listening to Finding God in Prison. We're here with Lance Walker, who is the security manager for Gaudenzia, a drug and alcohol treatment center, and who houses approximately 210 people, who gives them an opportunity really to rebuild their lives, go to work, and to get clean and sober, which is so important. And you know, Lance, every year we know that a lot of teenagers are using and actually overdosing or getting into car accidents. Every year, you know, there's a good number of kids throughout America who fall to, you know, these the drug of choice, if you will. And so what is your message to the youth out there who is listening today?
Well, I just want to tell them that, you know, life isn't as bad as they think. You don't have to pick up a drug to get it, because one thing I know about drugs and alcohol, whatever pain or anything you're running from is always going to be there once the high is gone. There's no need to use, because once you use, you're basically taking yourself deeper and deeper into that hole. Climb out that hole and know that God is always there for you and always going to be watching you and always overseeing you and going to always see it through.
And it's an awesome message, you know, Lance. And we talk about faith day in and day out within the Wings program. It's the number one priority in our list of priorities, which is God first, and then you, and then your family, and then work, and then community service, and then hobbies and sports. But the stronger you are, the more you can do for yourself and your family, your children, and the community. And, you know, that's exactly what you're doing. You're living out a great philosophy. The other thing is we like to feed ourselves spiritually, mentally, and physically so we have balance in life. When we have balance, we have elimination of things like depression, anxiety, fears, anger. But we have a lot of peace. And when you have peace, you can put joy into your life, which is so important. But I know going back to 2014, Kenny James and I were in the CFCF facility. We were over at, you know, the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. We did 1,800 seminars, and Kenny was came through us at 2014, graduated, became what we call a wingman, and we went on to do, you know, like I said, 1,800 seminars. We put a lot of men through the program. And it's a 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program that really benefits a lot of people, not only, you know, in building character and family, but also in court, getting men home early with reductions in time, house arrest, work release, and reductions in bail. We've helped a lot of men in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, but also upstate with parole board hearings. And we have a lot of men upstate, but also a lot of men have come home and are now working as CDL drivers and building their own businesses in construction. Some men working for Walmart and ShopRite. But, you know, it's just a pleasure to talk to you and to highlight some of the success you've had personally and also the great things that Gaudenzi is doing down in Philadelphia. And so where do you see yourself 1 year from today, Lance?
1 year from today, I want to possibly own my own recovery house so I can help people coming from incarceration, people that don't have too much, people that don't have family, people that don't have the luxury. I kind of want to have a recovery house that's full of that. I want to have a recovery house that has, like, fully furnished, books for them to read, computers, so they can do stuff for searching for jobs and things of that nature. Have a wardrobe so they can look for an outfit to put on to go for that new job or to be interviewed. And kind of have that that outlet for them, and then also have a connection with people who these gentlemen can go to for employment, guaranteed employment.
Right.
Find them finances, some type of finance where they can have some type of support system where they can have their own money, their own bank accounts, their own everything through this recovery program.
That's awesome. And that's a great goal for yourself and for, you know, for this moment. I want to just pray that God will bless you to make that dream come true. And Lance, we only have a few seconds left of the show, but I want to thank you for tuning in with us today, joining us on the show, and thank our listening audience also for listening to Finding God in Prison. We're here once again with Mr. Lance Walker, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. It's been a privilege, Lance, having you on the air. Is there anything you'd like to say before we go?
No, I just want to say thank you, Joe, and thank you, listeners, for allowing me to speak tonight. And just know that you're not in this by yourself.
All right. Thank you very much. God bless, my friends. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless.
Thank you.